Good morning. Chaos and confusion plague the religious world. It blights the cause of Christ and spawns infidelity and atheism among the lost. Jesus prayed against this confusion and division, knowing the tragic result would be unbelief. "That they all may be one," said Jesus, "as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee. That they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me." John 17:21. Jesus gave this warning against false prophets. "Then if any man shall say unto you, Lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not." Matthew 24:23. A sorely divided Christian world, cursed with false teachers, has pointed in all directions, claiming there is Christ and salvation, and a bewildered world does not believe. But while frail, erring men may differ widely on just where and how men are to be saved, God seems to have no voice in the matter. His divine revelation states how men are to be saved and shows how men have been saved. The confusion and strife within Secretarianism can be completely obliterated by simply taking God at His word and believing sufficiently to obey implicitly what He commands. Men have offered many plans of salvation. God has given only one. There are many doctrines of men to confuse. The one gospel dispels confusion, and there can be no other. When you turn back to Scriptures, you find a simple pattern of faith and practice that should preclude such division. But vain men sought to change and revise what God decreed. Paul wrote, "I marvel that you're so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed." Galatians 1:6-8. Paul knew a departure was coming, and even warned a group of elders, "For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them." Acts 20:29-30. He warned Timothy, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. And again, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned into fables." 1 Timothy 4:1 and 2 Timothy 4:3-4. When you hear so many plans of salvation filling the airways with a jargon of divisive doctrines, it is good to know that God is neither indecisive nor wavering where our salvation is concerned. For the same plan of salvation that saved people nearly 2,000 years ago will save us today. The same God holds forth the same salvation, and when people obey that same gospel in the same way, the same God will save them the same way and add them to the same church. What we need to do now is to look back to what those first converts did, and then be willing to obey in the same way. There is no better place to start our investigation than with the first gospel sermon and the very first converts. Those people on the day of Pentecost heard the gospel preached by inspired men who spoke as the Spirit gave them utterance, Acts 2:4. Their background was fully as bad as any of ours. Peter told them, "God hath made that same Jesus whom you've crucified both Lord and Christ," verse 36. Later we find him stating that they had denied the Christ, taken a murderer in his stead, and killed the Prince of Life, Acts 3:14-15. There had to be a change for them to be accepted of God. So when they asked, "What shall we do?" Peter told them to repent, and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, Acts 2:38. Simply stated, they obeyed. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls, verse 41. They were saved and added to the church, verse 47. Isn't that fine? We can all understand what they did to be saved. But remember that this same preacher was later warning them about falling away, saying the latter end would be worse than the first. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than, after they had known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it has happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed in her wallowing in the mar. 2 Peter 2:20-22. He closed by likening this state to a dog returning to his own vomit, and a sow to the mar. Yes, we can fall away after having accepted Jesus Christ. From the letter Paul wrote to the saints in Rome, we have a great deal of information about their background and conversion. Of their background, Paul wrote, know ye not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants you are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness? But God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which were delivered to you. Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. Romans 6:16-18. However, they did not remain vile sinners. They obeyed a form of doctrine that made them free from sin. Know ye not that so many of us, as were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death? Therefore, were buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Romans 6:3-4. This obedience made them free from sin, and the servants of righteousness. Verse 18. They were reconciled unto God. Romans 5:9-11. By the gospel of salvation. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Romans 1:16. They had been sinners, but they obeyed the form of doctrine which includes the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. 1 Corinthians 15:1-4. They did this by dying to sin, being buried in baptism, and being raised to walk in newness of life. They have followed the same pattern shown in the case of those on the day of Pentecost. But though saved from past sins, they could still forfeit this blessing. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Romans 14:12. There would be no need for a judgment if, once saved, always saved. Remember Paul's writing to Christians here. As a culture, the Corinthians were as bad as any you will find. They were given over to sensual lust, even in their devotions. Paul refers to their sordid background in writing, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But you are washed, but you are sanctified, but you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. 1 Corinthians 6:9-11. You can't pick out sins more vile from the catalog of sins. They had a deplorable background. Yet Paul wrote, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints. 1:2. Notice that Paul showed their background, but emphasized the change produced by their obedience, and spelled out how the change came about. Their obedience included a washing, a sanctification, and justification. More pointedly, he stated, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. 12:13 of 1 Corinthians. When they were baptized into the body of Christ, they became new to him. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. 2 Corinthians 5:17. This is their blessed estate in Christ. But there are yet warnings for them. After pointing out how the children of Israel were delivered and then fell away, Paul warned, now these things were our example, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. 1 Corinthians 10:6. He then cited how 23,000 fell in one day, and said, now all these things happened unto them for our example, and they are written for our admonition upon whom the ends of the world are come, Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. Verses 11 and 12. Does that not make you a little more cautious, a little more vigilant? Paul wrote to that end. If we could not fall away, like the Israelites of old, then Paul wasted his time in writing to them. Let's summarize. The Corinthians were grossly sinful and degenerate. They had the gospel delivered to them. 1 Corinthians 2, 1 through 5. On the hearing the message, they turned from sin, were washed from their defilement, and were sanctified in Christ. Where does this procedure differ from those on Pentecost and the Romans? They had heard and obeyed the same gospel. It cannot be more clearly stated than this. Many of the Corinthians believed and were baptized. Acts 18, verse 8. Paul spent a great deal of time in Ephesus, knew the converts well. He had personally taught and baptized some. Acts 19, verse 5. And he labored day and night among them, declaring the whole counsel of God. Acts 20, 18 through 35. Their background was anything but good. Paul saying they were dead in trespasses and sins, walking in the lust of the flesh, as children of disobedience, and that you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Ephesians 2, verse 12. But the change was produced. When they were baptized into Christ, they had redemption and forgiveness through His blood. Ephesians 1, verse 7. And received every spiritual blessing in Christ. Ephesians 1, verse 3. Yet even though the Ephesian saints had all the spiritual blessings in Christ, there were warnings given lest they fall away. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Ephesians 5, verse 6. You cannot read the stirring words of Ephesians 4, 17 through 32, and yet believe it was impossible for them to forfeit their inheritance. They had departed from a sordid, sinful background, and had come unto Jesus Christ as the children of God, but they could still so behave as to be disinherited. Friends, carefully study what we've considered this morning. In every case, they had to depart from sin, which they did on hearing the gospel, believing it and repenting of sins, and putting on Christ in baptism for the remission of sins. They became the children of God with all the spiritual blessings that are promised to those in Christ. But in each case, it is shown they could still be lost. Have you found any contradiction in God's plan? God is faithful and is not fanciful. His grace is shown in giving the gospel, His power to save. The gospel teaches His plan of salvation, but we must believe it sufficiently to obey Him. When we do, we obtain the promised blessing and can rejoice in salvation. Until next week, may God bless and keep you.